Down to business on News Talk.
Thanks to Bank of Ireland, supporting enterprise locally through the National Enterprise Town Awards.
Now, Cork City, we talked about it a minute ago, is one of the most culturally vibrant cities in the country. But many are concerned that motor congestion and a lack of investment in public transport will see it fall behind rival European cities in the coming years. Declan Jordan, he's a director of the Spatial and Regional Economics Research out there in UCC. And he joins me now to discuss the future of public transport in Cork and what needs to be done to make a competitive and sustainable urban hub. Declan, you're very welcome to the programme. Now, Maggie Thatcher, I think it was said that a man on a bus over the age of 30 could consider himself a failure. But we moved a long way from then. And talk to me about embracing buses and buses, as you see it, being the solution for infrastructure in Cork.
Well, I'm not sure we have moved a long way from then. I think still the bus is considered to be old technology, an old way to do things, inconvenient, unreliable. And our experience with buses isn't good. Our experience with buses in our cities isn't good. They have been unreliable, and they have been, you know, old buses and diesel spewing out fumes. So the bus is very much unloved. But I think the real difficulty is that we still have cars clogging up where the buses should be. You know, so we see there an increase in the number of people taking the bus, as you mentioned earlier on.
Not to cut across you, but only 5% of people in Cork City are currently using...
But 3/4 of people drive into work in Cork.
So they're right, so 75% using cars.
Yeah, and there's only about 5% cycling. And I cycle into work. I cycle over to UCC. And it's not something that you should do. It's not something for the faint-hearted.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not the Cork Metropolitan Area Transport Strategy recognises the need to have more cycle lanes to reduce a priority on cars. But culture takes a long time to shift, and I think the difficulty is that this is going to discommode people because we have a huge car dependency, which is a result of how we've decided to organise ourselves, right? We spread out, and we need to stop spreading out. I mean, according to Ireland 2040, Cork's population is going to increase by 40 to 60% up till 2040. Now, if we're going to have 75% of those new residents driving into work, it's going to be gridlock. It's just not going to work. It's just not going to happen for Cork.
And should we accept that public transport will never be profitable, that we just have to invest in it and it's a cost to society and it's a cost worth paying?
Yes. Public transport is a public service.
Yeah.
Like, there's lots of cities in Europe now, but a few cities in Europe, I know Tallinn, for example, is the only capital city to do it, which is free public transport. There are cities like Dunkirk in France have a very novel way of doing it. They charge residents, I think it's about €5 a year. Whether you take the bus or not, everybody's charged €5 a year. Yeah. Put it onto your property, local property tax. But then the bus is free. So it's not free. It's free at the point of use, right? It's no public transport system is free. Someone has to pay.
Yeah.
But how you pay for it is important.
It's interesting as well, is it not, you know, making comparisons with other European cities. If we take a city like Oslo, which I think you cited, it's hilly. It's not dissimilar to Cork. But if we take cities like Amsterdam, Copenhagen, if you look at photographs back in the 70s and 80s of those, you see car congestion. So they forced policy,
I suggest. I mean,
they literally turned against the car.
They had a vision, and it happened around the time of the oil crisis when they realized this wasn't sustainable. Having all these cars driving around the cities, clogging up the cities, wasn't sustainable. And it wasn't just that it wasn't sustainable. It was a horrible place to be, right? Because you had so many cars, you know, pedestrians couldn't walk around, nobody was cycling. And now with climate disruption, it's becoming more of an issue that we have to reduce our dependency on cars.
I'd be interested in the views of my newspaper guests who are still with me. Jonathan Healy, listening to Declan there, is enough being done to encourage people to move away from the car, 75%?
No, absolutely
still using
not.
Them?
And again, just coming back to Cork, which we can talk about with a bit of confidence when we're here. Take where I live. I live in Blarney, which is on the north side of the city, and it's recently been brought back into the city. If I wanted to get the bus into town, which I would have absolutely no objection to, there's no park and rides at any point for me to hop on a bus. So therefore, you know, I don't live next to the bus, so I'm going to have to drive to the bus, but I can't leave my car anywhere, which is a huge challenge. You've got a train that runs past my house, but you can't get on it because there is no train station because they got rid of them years ago. They're in the greater plan for transport, but the National Transport Authority don't have anyone here in Cork. It's all
well, it's controlled out of Dublin.
It's controlled out of
Dublin. Oh, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, for my sins, Bobby, I was elected to the Cork City Council from 79 to 91. I spent a lot of time as chairman of our Roads and Finance Committee, and when we were planning, trying to implement lots. Jonathan is absolutely right. The amount of local determination available to not just Cork, but all the other local authorities is absolutely scandalously low. This is not a national strategic transport position. This is how do we get more people in the interest of everybody, in the interest of the economy, of productivity, how do we make sure that we have proper access routes and public transport availability to people as they need it.
Okay. But the thing last is, word to you, Declan.
The thing is that it's a choice, right? This isn't a culture. You know, you hear, oh, well, Cork people won't cycle, or Irish people aren't for cycling, and we like our cars. This is a choice. Mm. We're choosing the structures that we have. We're choosing. Look outside at South Mall. There's no cycling on South Mall. There are cars parked perpendicular.
Yeah.
Then there's three lanes of traffic. There's double parking over on the far side from us.
That's very handy parking out here, though, to be fair. I do like parking here myself.
If you had one car lane with ramps driving up there and the rest was pedestrian and cycling, imagine what a beautiful street it would be.
And I think, you know, like Jonathan Healy there, he's a perfect example of somebody who won't change his habits. He'll drive his car into town.
I insist on parking outside every building.
You have to give the alternative. Yes. You have to build the stadium of public transport and cycle lanes, and the people will come.
Okay, again, thanks to my guests, Jonathan and Owen, and a special thanks to Declan Jordan from UCC. Thanks very much for that.